Did you know that there are over 6,000 studies on red light therapy? Well, today we're going to talk about neurodegenerative diseases, traumatic brain injuries, Parkinson's, all types of things, and how red light therapy can help enhance and speed up healing. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the Sarah Kleiner Wellness YouTube channel. Today, I have Peter Adams from V-Light on the show, and we are going to talk about red light therapy, your brain health, and how they are using this technology on professional athletes who have had all kinds of concussions. They're using it on Parkinson's patients, Alzheimer's patients, and just the amazing, dramatic things that they have been able to find. So I think this is a really fascinating conversation. And as I mentioned in the intro, there are over 6,000 different studies on red light therapy and how it can be used therapeutically. So we're just scratching the surface. If you are interested in V-Light after hearing this, you can use my code SARAHK to save on the V-Light. Any of their products. I'm using one of them myself, and I'm hoping we're getting a helmet for my daughter. That's on the to-do list to help her as well. So check those out. That's going to be linked down in the show notes. And before we jump into today's episode, just a couple quick thank yous to some sponsors. The first one is going to be VivaRays. You can use my code YOGI to save over at VivaRays. They have amazing circadian glasses as well as their low EMF headphones, eye masks, earplugs, lots of great stuff. So use my code YOGI over there to save. And then Upgraded Formulas, they are my go-to source for protecting the mineral balance in my body. So check them out. Use code YOGI12 or YOGI to save. I absolutely love their magnesium. It is really powerful and it bypasses the gut through this technology called nanoparticle technology. So check them out. Again, link down in the show notes. And let's jump into today's episode. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Today, we are going to talk with Peter Adams about V-Light. And I think this technology is really amazing. You've got a lot of great scientific information as well. But before we dive into all of that, would you just introduce yourself to my listeners and tell everyone a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Thanks. And thanks for having me, Sarah. Yeah. So I've been working with V-Light for I think it's 7 years now. My career started originally as a musician, but I was a bioengineer in the Radcliffe in Oxford, came to Canada, and have had a technical and business career both as an engineer and working in sales, marketing, and operation with startups, with Intel. I was very fortunate to manage Intel's relationship with the NHS in England, which is the biggest relationship they have on the planet, and came back to Canada and serendipitously wound up at a place called Mars Discovery District, which is Canada's largest health incubator. It's actually the largest incubator in North America now, and where I was the health IT advisor. However, because of my experience and family issues, I've been looking at alternative medicine for many, many years. So they would throw some of the oddball things at me. And that's when I met Dr. Lou Lim at that time, where he had the original single intranasal version of his product. He showed it to me. We had a colleague who was fairly unwell, and we looked at a sample of her blood under a microscope, pre and post 30 minutes intranasal treatment. I saw the change in the blood, the disaggregation of the platelets before my eyes, and I thought, there is something here. And, you know, having worked with 200 startups in advising them in various shapes or forms in commercialization, I was really excited. I thought, there's something here. Now, Lou's background was ex Silicon Valley. You know, he's an engineer. He's also a CPA and he had a doctorate in natural medicine. So he was very, very rounded in technology, the use of technology. And his idea was, look, let's just take this idea that the Russians and the Chinese were looking at, which was bioinfusing the blood using fiber optics. That was going on fairly early on, and they showed some of these results. And Lou used his expertise to see if we could replicate an intranasal application of that. So that's how it all started. And now I've been vice president of business development at VLite since then. Though most of my early work in the company was trying to convince the health system that there was a there, there was something going on. And it has taken us a long while, a combination of Lou's absolute dogged commitment, which is remarkable, and self-funding to get us from here to there. And of course, all of the fortunate research partnerships we have with institutions around the world to get us to where we are today.
Amazing. And going back to the intranasal red light there, I guess it's you call it red light therapy, right? Or do you call it something else, or just photobiomodulation?
Well, actually, the whole field took off in terms of, you know, a few hundred publications to now over 5,000 since then.
Yes.
And so that I think they felt it deserved a descriptive term, which has landed on photobiomodulation. It's a bit of a mouthful, which essentially describes how light, the energy of the light modulates cells, the body, physically and mentally.
Yeah, I've been using it, the nasal light for myself after I have a 9-month-old baby. Wow. And a 15-year-old. Yeah. So we decided just at the last minute we were going to have one more, and kind of forgot about all the sleepless nights and, you know, then the stress of my daughter on top of that. So I've just like to stay optimal. That's one thing I'll do is I'll do a little bit of methylene blue, but then I also, after I do the methylene blue, we'll do the intranasal therapy. And those nights where I'm only getting a few hours of sleep, it just is remarkable the difference that it makes. I can think clearly, I can get things done, I can kind of function throughout the day. So maybe we can talk a little bit about that technology. I know that's just one of the things that you do and just a tip of the iceberg with the V-Lite, but maybe we could just kind of start there.
Sure. Yeah, no, we started off with the red light therapy. It's called the 633, which describes the frequency. That's 633 nanometers. And in the nose, you have the most dense profusion of blood cells, blood vessels near the surface. So it's a great place for the light to interact with the blood. So that was the idea behind that. But we've since found that it also penetrates through the soft palate into the brain. Now, the mechanisms that have been shown since then and published of, so what's that red light doing? It actually changes the viscosity of the blood, and it disaggregates the platelets, i.e. the platelets are the little hemoglobin platelets that are responsible for carrying energy, getting rid of toxins, absorbing nutrients, etc. When you get sick, they tend to clump together. And so the whole efficiency of that mechanism is compromised. And the disaggregation appears to be a really good thing. And then the increase in microcirculation in the body, which is, you know, so important. Now, the other things that have been discovered is an increase in nitric oxide, which we all know is really responsible and has been, you know, a big deal with COVID recently because of the effectiveness of the lungs. That's also, of course, a vasodilator as well. And then an increase in ATP, which is, you know, a big indicator of how the immune system is actually functioning. It's a marker of the immune system that's functioning. So it has shown that it boosts the immune system also, among other things. But those are the main outputs, let's call it, from intranasal. I personally, like you, I notice if I use it at night, I wake up feeling more refreshed. We have a number of elite athletes around the world use it. We can talk about our transcranial and the whole brain part next, but you know, if you're an elite athlete, especially if you're in a team, you'll probably have a very intense game. you might get on a plane and go to a hotel, and then you might want to come down from it and fall asleep. Very challenging for athletes. They use it for in that regard, just to get that calm, to fall asleep and get a better sleep pattern. We have also found, anecdotally, we have a chap called Sifiwe Balika, who wanted to be the fastest swimmer at the age of 50 in the world. I think he got the silver. But he used that intranasal before his 50-yard dash. And his heart rate, normally, he's able to measure his heart rate during that dash. Normally, it would be, you know, in the 200 range, but he kept it down at 170 and shaved half a second, which is absolutely massive in swimming. So it shows you there are some very interesting benefits. Now, the 633, these are all anecdotal, I must say. So we kind of jump past that onto transcranial because we got very interested in some of the MIT work using near-infrared and transcranial applications. So that if you want to talk about that next, but that's really the kind of mini story about the 633. It's a great companion to help your immune system on a daily basis.
Fascinating. Yeah, we've had all kinds of sicknesses in the house, and I haven't had to deal with any of that, thank goodness, because mom can't go down. but I've been using it in the morning, so that's really interesting to hear that it can be used kind of in the evening to wind down and kind of calm the body down. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah, it's great before sleep, for sure.
Oh, wonderful. I'm going to have to try that out. And then, so if it's helpful for immune system healing, that sort of thing, are you seeing it with people who maybe have like long COVID? I know I've got a lot of people in my audience that struggle with chronic illness and they're just exhausted all the time, you know, and with long COVID, they just have a hard time doing basic activities. So would this be appropriate for those people to try as a modality?
Yeah. So for long COVID, I should tell you that more recently we had another device called the X Plus, which actually puts near infrared into the thymus and then red light into the nose. And we did a clinical trial for acute COVID for 280 patients, half of them on standard of care and half of them using that device. And we found an accelerated recovery from COVID. Now, just to be clear, these patients were patients that had been tested positive within 5 days, and then they were treated for 1 month afterwards to see the accelerated recovery. The results of that enabled Health Canada to actually approve that device for coronaviruses and SARS-related viruses as a medical device. It's actually the first time in the world that photobiomodulation has been approved for that kind of medical treatment.
Wow.
Now, obviously, it took us a long time to do it. It's late in the game, but we are excited about it because it really demonstrates, again, the immune-boosting function. Also, the recovery from the respiratory stress of the disease was accelerated. Now, with regard to long COVID, we have some people that are just starting to try it. We have a group called the Remission Biome, which is started by a professor of biology and an ex-NASA neuroscientist who've had ME for a long time. And they created a thing called a remission biome for lots of people that was suffering from, you know, chronic, but let's call it chronic fatigue, ME, etc. Now, 70% of those apparently have long COVID. And they have the two scientists have they've been researching everything around this and trying to do, let's call it skunk work strategies to just crowdsource information, test it out and get that back. So they've been using our device for a couple of months. They are excited about it. They've noticed improvements. No, they've been using our transcranial device, the NeuroGamma, which essentially puts near-infrared light directly into the brain through the skull. The NeuroGamma uses pulse near-infrared at 40 hertz. Now, there's something very specific about the 40 hertz because it resonates with the gamma frequency of the EEG in the brain. And when you're in a gamma state at night, that's the time when the brain actually releases the microglia, which actually go into the brain and clear up all the toxins. And they showed at MIT, which was actually with pulsing light, and they've shown with sound too, that that frequency appears to break down the beta amyloid plaques that are associated with Alzheimer's. So that's the plaque builder. Hence, we did some Alzheimer's studies. Now, we are currently doing a pilot study for long COVID to evaluate a lot of the long COVID issues are A, exhaustion, but B, brain fog big time. So we're looking at using the NeuroGamma for that to see what the results are. So stay tuned. Yeah. I can't actually comment whether it's working. I think it would be unfair to say to your population, go buy one, it's going to work, because I can't say that yet. But stay tuned. I think we'll see what happens.
It definitely sounds promising from what you already have learned about the other modalities, right?
Yeah. In fact, Dr. Tingley, who was the PI for the COVID trial, I mean, he's been previously treating patients with Lyme disease using neuro alpha and gamma in Halifax, Ontario. Sorry, Halifax in New Brunswick. So I think that there is definitely help there. I talked to a lot of people around the world who are suffering like this. And, a lot of them see benefits, but I think it's important that people don't think, oh, V-light's the cure.
Magic
the
pill.
The good news about the mechanism of V-light is that the core interaction is the ability of the mitochondria to absorb the photons through a protein called cytochrome oxidase C and generate cell building and cell repair energy from it. I think that underlies everything. It doesn't interrupt with pharmaceutical medications or other modalities, but it's like a great kind of pair of hands lifting you up, I think, in general at the moment. That's what we see. Obviously, we have researchers around the world that are trying to validate the various, let's call it clinical symptomatic effects, but that seems to be the best way to look at it.
Wow. So you're saying that there are people that he's treating that have Lyme in Ontario, because that's a lot of people now are dealing with Lyme. And I know that the treatment is typically antibiotics and, rounds and rounds and rounds of that, which can really be hard on people. And I know some people have chosen to kind of go a little bit more of a holistic route when it comes to Lyme. But he is seeing some pretty great improvements with using the technology.
Yeah. His name is Dr. Tingley.
Okay.
And now I'm not sure if he's doing this in parallel with the tri-antibiotic treatment. I've not been involved with it, but your viewers might want to look him up. Actually, if there's, I can contact him and refer you if you like, and we can get some more concrete evidence of what he's been doing and how he's been doing it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm always looking for things to help people that are dealing with these types of things, because I think that it can just be a tough road, and anything they can do to support themselves along the way can be really helpful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, you mentioned brain fog, which is obviously
huge.
Inflammation, the sort of father of, or mother of depression and general malaise, of course. They've shown inflammatory biomarkers are reduced using photobiomodulation as well. Not extensive studies on that, but I think that's another thing that definitely indicates the support that it's giving. Now, that said, I must say that people need to, this is from my own personal experience, actually, in terms of things like mold, mercury poisoning, or heavy metal poisoning. You know, you can fire lead into your brain, fire light into your brain. But if you've got underlying toxins like that, I'm not convinced the light is going to remove them. So you, it might be very stubborn. So I think you have to work with an integrative medicine approach to deal with everything, which can include chelation and so forth.
Yeah, but this can be supportive as they go through that. Yeah, because that's the mold is a big thing that a lot of people are, I think that there just is more awareness around it. And so they're, you know, a lot of people kind of doing these detox protocols, and I don't know, I have mixed feelings about, I think you should definitely get out of a moldy environment, but as you get to back to health, I think we have to do a lot of things to improve the mitochondria and support the mitochondria.
Right.
Otherwise you're just kind of going to go back to where you were. Your body has kind of gotten this mold because it was in a more vulnerable position. So what can we do to improve and strengthen the mitochondria so that if you come into contact with another pathogen, it doesn't just take you over again, you know? So it's like, if you're just wiping things out constantly, but you're not supporting the host,
right?
Is it going to be as effective? That's always my question.
Yeah, I feel good about photobiomodulation exactly from that perspective. It's safe.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to interfere with other modalities of treatment whatsoever. So I think those are some of the key benefits.
Yeah. And with the 633 that I have, it said to do it, what, so application times, you could do it pretty much any time during the day, would you say? Or is it more optimal to do at a specific time?
You can do it up to twice a day with a 6-hour break. And then 6 days a week, up to 6 days a week with a 1-day break per week is what we recommend.
Got it. Okay. So that's good to know, because some people... they think if a little bit is good, then I should probably do this for hours a day and just keep it there. And it's one of those things, kind of like I always say with photobiomodulation in general, if you have a red light panel and you're using it, don't use, I always tell people 20 minutes max with a panel, moving it around to different areas, and then take a day off. So maybe you can explain why. I always say it's kind of like exercise. You don't want to just do it every day. You need to give your body time to rest, but maybe you can explain it in that framework of just using it for your purposes.
Yeah, great. Ashley, I'm really glad you mentioned that. So one of my big, big things around photobiomodulation is, like anything, dosage is important. And overdosage can cause something which is called a biphasic response, which can actually drive the body in the opposite direction. So you feel, you can feel quite crappy for 24 hours or more if you overdose. Now, how do you know if you're overdosing? That's the trick. And I think the goal is less is more. And I think the regimen that you're suggesting is a good one, just keeping it down to, you know, 20 minutes. And I think, you know, I haven't really... Nor have we had any specific recommendations if you're using panels as well as red light. Though panels are the actual energy that actually is absorbed into the body through panels, it actually drops off at the power of a square with distance. And if it's not connected to the body, it's not going to be absorbed so much, whereas intranasal is directly going into the blood. And our transcranial, in fact, is actually, the way we've designed it, there are special diodes that are actually touching the skull, so the penetration is deeper. So to your point, yeah, less is more.
Got it. Yeah, that's... It's just people, they want to do all the things when they're kind of on that healing journey. And so I think they can tend to overdo it. But yeah, it is one of those things you want to take time off from. And that's interesting. I didn't even think about that because I still will use my panel occasionally on the days, but it's different. So the intranasal is 633 nanometers, and some of the panels, there, what I think a lot of people don't understand about photobiomodulation is there's different wavelengths that can be used for different purposes of mitochondrial healing and so forth. Do you kind of use different wavelengths with these? I call them kind of the helmets that you have. And maybe we could talk about some of that, because again, if you have a red light panel, it's kind of a one of those broad things. I'm like, I don't know what nanometers it is. It's such a broad thing.
Yeah, the panels are largely LED based. Mm-hmm. And if they're LED, they're probably 633 nanometer red. We also have a laser version of the intranasal, which is 655 nanometer. So it's a laser LED, a little bit more powerful, directed, reaches deeper into the skull. Now, in terms of getting light into the brain, we use 810 nanometers, so that's near infrared. Mm-hmm. And there are two frequencies, in fact, it's 1070 and 810. The idea is you need to get enough power and penetration from the wavelength without overheating or burning the brain. So if as you move to a longer wavelength, you get more to infrared. It's just, it's like putting a heater right against the skin. So you can't do it. So the reason why we use that wavelength, because it's that sweet combination of you don't need a lot of power, you get enough penetration, and you don't cause physical damage to the skull. Now, what differentiates us from everybody else, you'll see a lot of companies, they have these helmets, mm-hmm. hundreds of
for like hair growth and
even ones for neurological applications, uh-huh. right? Using 810, those diodes there's been very little research doing that, but the facts of the matter are unless the diode is touching the brain, the drop off in power is huge, even from a couple of centimeters. So actually it has to be touching the skull to penetrate, to penetrate effectively. And we also use custom diodes so that we're only applying at 4 or 5 points on the brain, which is called the default mode network, which is the area of the brain, which usually when the brain's active in a kind of what you might call a daydreaming state. Mm-hmm. And that was the recommendation we got out of Boston University Hospital when we started this. And it seems to be very, very effective in many regards. Now, when we actually developed that, we had to figure out, okay, is it really penetrating the brain? If so, how far? And so we worked with a researcher at the Canadian Addictions and Mental Health Institute called Reza Zomorodi. He's one of the leading EEG experts, computational EEG in Canada. And we did three-dimensional EEG pre and post to look at what's called the power spectrum of each wavelength of EEG during that time. And he showed that the whole brain was affected by just our device placed on the head and using the intranasal. But having the intranasal is a very important component to the whole formula, which we hold the patent on. We proved that it actually not only penetrated, but we're now proving that how it's actually modulating the frequency bands within the brain, which tend to move people towards, let's call it in some regards, a calmer state, or we've now shown increase in cognition, in memory. There's a whole bunch of things that unfortunately I wish I could talk about, but we have, we've just completed, the University of Utah completed a study with ex-athletes with repetitive head injury. and with a battery of tests and pre and post fMRIs. And we've actually shown from fMRIs, as did Dr. Linda Chow in the University of San Francisco, that there's increase in the networks of the brain and increase in blood flow from it. There's also been shown increase in neuronic or neurogenic repair, so repair of neurons and networks. We've actually shown it, that happening. Now, more recently, one of the first ex-footballers who had very serious head injuries, his name's Larry Carr. He was a BYU Hall of Famer. And he completely lost his life. He has a PhD in sport physiology and psychology. And he was a lecturer, a professor, and then he just completely lost his whole career due to the damage to his brain.
Wow.
And he was treated 5 years ago with photobiomodulation by Professor Margaret Naser at Boston University Hospital. And he started to recover. And she treated him with a very large device, and she told him the trial is over. And he was absolutely devastated. She said, but you can use this portable device from V-Light. So he used that, he went home, and it continued to help him. And he's been doing it for 5 years. And most recently, by the way, he's now an associate professor at the University of Utah.
Oh,
he's
wow.
got his career back, he's got his life back, and he's dedicated wow. his life to pushing the research there. He's an incredible guy. But one of the things they did back then was to measure the volumes of each part of his brain, each of the components, which, you know, with CTE, they shrink, or a lot of it shrinks. And with PTSD, the amygdala tends to grow. And they've just remeasured them at the University of Utah with an fMRI and an MRI. And they checked the volumetric changes, and his brain's actually grown back.
Wow.
And this should not even happen when you're 70, even if you're not well, even if wow. you're totally well. So those are some early observations. Dr. Linda Chow, Professor Linda Chow, I beg your pardon, at UCSF also did a hockey player and showed volumetric changes. But there have been some very exciting case studies of neurogenesis coming from this technology now. So stay tuned.
Yeah, that's amazing. I hope you're enjoying today's episode with Peter Adams. Just a quick little note to let you know, if you are interested in the V-Light product, you can use my code SARAHK to save on their products. Again, we are using them here at our house, and I notice a huge, huge difference just from using the little intranasal light 5 to 6 days a week. It has been really helpful and really relaxing for me. And especially with getting a little bit less sleep, being a little bit more sleep deprived with the baby, it's been really helpful. So check them out. Again, my code is SARAHK over at V-Light. And if you go to their website, they have a ton of amazing scientific data and research to back up all the stuff that Peter and I are talking about. If you're enjoying the show, make sure to hit the like button, leave us a comment, and let's jump back into it.
Your website has so many amazing resources. I'll make sure I link it down there in the show notes, but you've got, 13 plus ongoing studies and clinical trials, 14 plus published studies, with the V-Light technology. And then it says there's a kind of a navigation on the website, and it talks about Alzheimer's, traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's disease, autism, and then even PTSD, which is fascinating to me. So maybe we can break down. I know I just listed off a bunch of things, but maybe the most interesting things out of all of those we could talk about just a little bit.
Gosh, yeah. I must admit, so one of the good things about V-Light is we've had incredible amount of research partners. We've always focused on trying to get real evidence to support clinical trials ultimately and allow them to be, purchasable through insurance for people to actually yeah. use them. It's a long, long journey. And it can be a bit confusing when people come to the website because there's just so much
there. There's a lot, yeah.
There's so much there. So, if you're a person who has a loved one who has Alzheimer's. You know, the research is showing is positive, but it's not being clinically validated to the extent where it's an FDA approved treatment. Mm-hmm. We've done a lot of studies. We've seen with Alzheimer's, we've seen anything from miracles to nothing. We have, you know, we've actually shown in some cases improvement in memory and cognition. We have had one case who was in a vegetative state, who actually came back and was singing opera after 2 weeks. Uh-huh. But I mean, these things are not necessarily sustained. You know, we have to be careful. It's not Lorenzo's oil. We're right. really, you know, trying to work through some of these things. We have a very interesting public case. His name is Norman Overman. In fact, I talked to him yesterday and he's forgotten to use his device. But he was the founder of the Los Angeles Institute of Psychoanalysis. And he went into dementia. He used our device and came out of it. So he was an expert who was able to articulate what it felt like going into dementing and being separated from the world and then coming back. And he's been using the device, I guess it must be like 6 years now. He's 95. We've had other cases. One of the earliest cases was actually just using intranasal 8-10 nanometer near infrared pulse at 10 hertz. That chap had he had genetic Alzheimer's. He had seven brothers, all of whom subsequently died of Alzheimer's. Mm. And to my knowledge, I think he is still alive. Wow. He lost his English language. He went back to Dutch. He was a woodworker. He played the piano. All of that stopped, and it started again once he started to be treated. So there have been some very, you know, remarkable results, all anecdotal and not on large scale that you would have for a normal drug, for example. However, with the good news is, I mean, with Alzheimer's, it's always in the news about how pharma is making breakthroughs, but these breakthroughs are all reduction of the speed of decline. Mm-hmm. They're not improvement. They're just slowing down the decline so far. Yeah. So people are very desperate to get solutions, and we can all understand why. So we're still marching forward with those studies, and we still have partners that are. So I'm quietly optimistic. I would say though, we can't solve world hunger at VLight. There are so many things we could do. Mm-hmm. We've just, I guess a couple of years ago, we came out with a device where you can actually control the pulse frequency, the power, and the position of the lights. And we have a number of users now who are testing the various effects of pulse frequency and power and position of the light, and translating all of that information to something that's usable and may be influenced and controlled by AI is our next step in the process. But it's a long journey.
Yeah.
It's exciting. It's very exciting, but it's long. Now, you also mentioned, during those studies, we talked about traumatic brain injury. It appears that concussion is one of the best results that you get with photobiomodulation.
Really?
It's really powerful. We're really excited. That's going to be published hopefully this year. I'm just praying that Utah will publish that study, which was all of the ex-athlete study. We've also had Brigham Young study a football team for a year with performance. We kind of know what the results are, but I can't talk about them until they're published. But it's very frustrating. But we're trying to do, you know, athletic performance, how neuromodulation affects athletic performance, and we're getting great results. We actually have a lot of elite athletes using our technology. I can't tell you who they are. It's really frustrating because elite athletes want to keep secrets.
Yeah, it makes sense.
We have a world champion using our device, actually, and has been using it for the last 4 years.
Wow.
One of the public ones, I guess, which is kind of an interesting guy, his name is John Bruni, and he's broken the World Guinness records for its strength. And he talks publicly about the technology, of how it affects power, performance, and cognition.
Wow.
We also have the subject does go on. Now you've asked me, I can go about this for a long time. I don't want to bore your listeners. But so the executive director of the American College of Psychotherapy, Wayne Hulon, has also been using our technology with patients, largely with concussion, PTSD, in psychotherapy. And one of the issues in psychotherapy is that you have to reduce the anger before you can have the conversation. And he's found it's very effective in reducing anger.
Wow.
And also one of his colleagues also has been using it with addictions. She's a psychiatrist named Dr. Susan Blank. And she's done over 400 cases, which are now being analyzed at Stanford. But she's in Georgia.
Okay.
And she's incorporates that with neurofeedback and other modalities. But she's added photobiomodulation to 400 cases, and she's reporting out on it as we speak.
Interesting. That's so fascinating. I try to look at a lot of this research. I think it's so interesting with photobiomodulation, and I have seen it improve depression and anxiety and just a host of things. And I can say that's something I've dealt with kind of all of my life. And that was one of the side effects I noticed when I was regularly doing photobiomodulation, was I did feel mentally more clear, like a little more uplifted. And so it's just, the implications are just endless. I'd love to hear a little bit about, of course, on a personal note, because I have a daughter, a child with autism, but a little bit of the research that you've done with autism as well.
Yeah, there's been research, anecdotal reports out of Australia on kids with autism. But the latest research was done actually without our knowledge. And it was Dr. Palanti Stefano. And he was a Stanford professor, and he's director of the Instituto di Neuroscience in Florence, Italy. And I'm just reading this to you. He did 21 patients, 13 males, 8 females, age range 5 to 15. And they received both transcranial alpha and gamma, which means per pulse at 10 hertz and at 40 hertz. And he's shown reduction in ASD severity, non-compliant behavior, parental stress, cognitive rigidity, and sleep quality from that study.
Wow.
So that is actually published, which people can look up.
Interesting.
Yeah, and of course, similarly with Alzheimer's, you know, I'm not saying that putting this helmet on and something up a nose is something that everybody suffering that way is going to be happy with. You know, just applying the technology can be a challenge.
Yeah, it's been hard with my, so I bought the intranasal for her, but she has so many sensory issues that she is like, I can't do it, Mom. She spells to communicate, and she's like, I can't do it. So I was thinking about getting her one of the helmets to see if we could, at least if she would tolerate that, because she's at the point where she'll do things if she understands they're going to help her. Like she does cold water immersion now. She'll do cold plunging with me, which is it's impressive, because my husband can only last about 30 seconds to a minute, and she can do 5 minutes in the cold water.
Wow.
Yeah, she'll do it because it makes her feel better. And there's interesting things that happen with the mitochondria and cold water as well. But yeah, we're trying to get her to tolerate it, but it's been difficult.
So are you using just the 633 with her?
Yeah, that's all we have right now. I was thinking about getting one of the helmets for her to see if we could just use it on her head and not have it on the nose. Because I think she'd be more apt to wear it as a helmet, but I don't know if she would do the nose thing. We got to work up to that.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. Plus, in cases like that, the pulsing frequency can be really important. Mm. So what we're seeing is that the alpha pulsing frequency has more of a calming effect on the brain. But the gamma frequency has a more of an alertness effect. So you don't want to use the 40 hertz gamma in the evening because it can affect your sleep.
Okay.
If you're too awake. I personally used it after I was rear-ended. I had a pretty serious concussion.
Oh.
And I found that the alpha really calms down that kind of feeling where your mind is racing internally, but you're exhausted externally.
Yeah.
It worked really well. And then when I got back to work and was trying to organize my mind, the gamma puts you into an incredibly quick focus mode. I really, really enjoyed that. So perhaps
the alpha would be best for her, probably.
Might help your daughter, yeah.
Yeah.
When you say that she doesn't like feeling the device up her nose, maybe if you had a 10 hertz pulse in her nose, she might experience that differently. You can always try, but you'll get the intranasal with that anyway. So
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think it would help her. She says, cause she, like I said, she spells to communicate, and she says that when she's having a really hard time, it feels like her brain is on fire. And so that's why I think the alpha, I mean, that's her descriptive term. And I hear that from a lot of people that suffer from like neuroinflammation in general. There's actually a book called Brain on Fire, written by a lady who had like an autoimmune encephalitis, which we're kind of going through a lot of testing for her on that right now. And we've picked up some markers that she does have some autoimmune encephalitis going on as well. So that was, you think the alpha would probably work best in that type of situation.
That's interesting you mentioned that. There was, Dr. Tamara Ramanick from the Remission Biome group. She said she experienced that like a glutamic fire or glutamate toxicity. Mm-hmm. A glutamic storm, I think she was saying. And she actually also experienced that when she overdosed on photobiomodulation.
Ah.
So I'm thinking, it might be really interesting just to try a low-dose helmet on your daughter and see what happens. You just have to...
Be careful. She can tell me, because we've been using different things like a PEMF bed. And she'll tell me, she'll just get off. She's like, you have to turn it way down. It's too much. I can't handle it. So she'll let us know. But there are a lot of children like her that are suffering, and just a lot of people. It's kind of a new, even Stanford is studying it now. I didn't know this until we started struggling with it. But these kids, and it's neurotypical children too. It's not just children with autism. They'll get this autoimmune encephalitis and they'll have these violent, aggressive behaviors. And like I said, Stanford is studying it now. They have a whole department dedicated to it. We're actually talking to some people there. But I've just been thinking the whole time, I'm like, because their treatment is antibiotics and steroids and all these things. And, you know, I'm thinking, gosh, I wonder how much photobiomodulation could help some of these kids. Cause she loves the panels and she'll stand in front of it. But if we were able to target it a little bit more, it really does make you think.
Yeah. A group in Australia, were looking at using both transcranial and, something on the stomach to influence the microbiome.
Oh yes. Yes, yes, yes.
And we actually have a device that you can do that. That's the X Plus. So the X Plus, you can see on the website.
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad that I should have demo units here, but right in front of me. I don't have them all. But that has a single near-infrared diode and an intranasal, and it can hook around the body and go onto the stomach.
Ah, okay. Fascinating.
That's the device we used also in the COVID study, putting it on the thymus, but you can...
So you can put it on the gut as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there have been a lot of interesting studies that show improvement in microbiome diversity with photobiomodulation, which is really interesting.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can use it on the head as well as the gut at the same time then.
Yeah, but you need two devices to do that. I wish you didn't, but you do.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
So you've got, I'm just kind of looking, you've got just the intranasal only, and you mentioned there's two. So I have the 633 and there's a more powerful one. That's a laser. Is that right?
Yeah, that's the 655.
Okay.
But those devices now, we've incorporated them. The individual devices are going to be phased out. We have a new device called the MIP, which is there on the website. So the MIP has a choice of four applicators on it, and it's intelligent, so it knows which one you've plugged into the controller.
Ah.
And it has blue, which is for antiviral. So if you have, for onset of colds, you can put that in your nose and use the blue. It has the near infrared, which can be pulsed at 40 or 10 hertz, so you can still get that neuromodulation. And then it has a 655 laser and a regular 655 red. So you can plug in two at a time and have them up both nostrils.
Oh, wow.
But the MIP.
Okay. And that one's going to be replacing the other two devices then.
Correct.
And you mentioned blue light. So, you know, it's funny in kind of the circadian world. Well, if you really know what you're talking about, you don't think blue light is bad, but... because we need blue light. The blue light from the sun is supposed to wake us up and help a lot of hormone production happen in the day. But you mentioned the blue light, if they feel like the onset of a cold or something like that. Can we talk a little bit about that application?
Yeah, it's been proven to have an immediate antiviral, antibacterial effect.
Ah, wow. Okay.
It doesn't penetrate. But whatever on the surface and in the nose or close to the nose will be zapped.
Wow.
By that light. It's quite an effect.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Interesting. Okay. So you've got the neuro, the alpha, you've got the intranasal, and the ones that are the helmets, right? I guess the neuro, do those come with the intranasal, so you don't have to buy that separately, correct?
That's correct, yeah. The intranasal is really important. We ship that with every device.
Got it. And is that a 633 or 655 that's with those?
So when you use the neuro, they're all near-infrared 810 diodes.
Okay.
When you use the X Plus, that just has 633 red with near infrared 810 on the surface module that goes on the thymus or on the gut.
Okay.
It can also be used for pain, by the way, but that wasn't in the intended purpose. We have another device coming out for that, actually.
Ah.
Pulse frequency, but that's not released yet.
For like a headache or just like general pain?
Yeah, muscular pain, joint pain.
Ah, fascinating. This is super fascinating. Well, what are some of the most interesting things that maybe I haven't asked you about that you might want to mention to my listeners?
Interesting things. Well, I guess for us, what's most interesting in our life is just the reactions of the researchers and athletes. I mean, we are also used by a veterans hospital in the States. So you can see things like post-war syndrome. So the most interesting things, I would say, for example, when we did the ex-athlete study in Utah, they even though it's not published yet, they privately shared their results with a doctor from Mount Sinai in New York, Dr. Carrie Espozenko, who will be part of the. And she looked at it and she said, "This is just not possible. What's happened? I mean, she's never seen anything like it." And so it's really interesting seeing something so simple. I say simple. It's very so. So it is actually simple in terms of application and the power of light at that power. And what the output it can generate in the human body, that's what's really interesting. It's interesting to see people's reactions of disbelief. And I think that's the world we've lived in. You know, it seemed like quackery at the beginning. And the interesting part is just seeing everybody gradually learn more and believe more about what it can do. That's what keeps me alive in terms of working on this and excited. It's all new and there's still so much to do. I think that's the other thing.
Yeah.
This is the tip of the iceberg. And it's very powerful already. But I think once we're able to do closed loop feedback, i.e. monitor what's going on in the body and control the delivery based on AI interpreting the best use, that's where we're going. I think that will be really exciting as to what we can do.
Very exciting. Well, I'm going to make sure to link everything down in the show notes. And the website is just a fascinating, you could just get lost on the website looking at all the different publications and studies for all these different conditions. It's, I heard someone say, oh, red light therapy, that's just kind of unscientific. And I'm like, you really don't know what you're talking about if you say something like that. There's so much really interesting information available, and it is very scientifically backed at this point. And I think, like you said, we're just starting to scratch the surface of the capabilities of this technology.
No, it's true. Well, no, thanks so much for doing what you do, Sarah. I mean, this is it's wonderful for us to get the word out there. It's also very challenging because we can't make medical claims,
right?
And I will confess that sometimes it's very confusing or daunting trying to investigate what we are doing. And I promise you, we've actually hired somebody in now to try and make that customer journey easier to navigate, because there is so much there and you can just get exhausted trying to understand that when you've got brain fog's even worse.
That's the thing. You know, a lot of people that listen to the show, maybe they're bedbound or they're just unable to leave the house, or they have these conditions, and they're like, okay, well, I know this is good, but I have no idea where to start. So I may have to do a follow-up episode down the road to answer some of the questions that come in after this one.
Well, we have a lot of clinical practitioner partners around the world who help people like your listeners. And we are now starting to evaluate them all so that, you know, that we'll see if we can actually get to a point where there's a clinician near you that you can talk to about your specific condition. That's coming. I make no apology. There's just so much to do here. We're trying to grow as quickly as we can to deal with it.
Love it. Well, thanks again for coming on and sharing with my audience. I know they're really going to be excited about this conversation.
Well, thanks. It's lovely to meet you too. All the best.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode with Peter Adams of VLight. Again, use my code SarahK to save on anything over at VLight. The link will be down in the show notes if you are inspired after hearing us chat today. And a quick little shout out to my sponsors, VivaRays, code YOGI to save on those circadian glasses, the low EMF headphones to listen to podcasts like this one. They're eye masks, and their earplugs, all linked down in the show notes, and upgraded formulas. Absolutely love their magnesium. It is so fantastic for getting a good night's sleep if you are low in magnesium. And I love their hair tissue mineral analysis. Code YOGI12 or YOGI to save. And thank you again for listening. Don't forget to head on over to Apple or Spotify, leave me up to that 5-star review, and share this with a friend or family member. Have a fantastic rest of your day.